Hello, it's Leisha Holmes of Key Recruitment, and I'm delighted to be joined today by Vicky Hughes and Kate Hayward of Performance Pot. Hi, girls.
Hello.
Hi.
So we actually all met at We Are Aspire, which happens to be 28 years old, and we wanted to say happy birthday to all of our ex-alumni from there. So all the very best to you. And you're joining me today because we want to talk about a couple of key issues. And I'm going to address Kate first of all. First of all, Kate, do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself for those who in my audience who aren't familiar with your background?
Yes. So been in recruitment for a very long time now, it's 22 years. Started at the Aspire Group, where we all met each other, which was an amazing experience. I'm constantly reflecting on how forward-thinking they were in that business, actually. And then progressed through my career and ended up in training, which is something that I'm really, really passionate about within the recruitment industry. And now working as a partner in Performance Pot, designing, delivering training for recruiters right through to senior managers. And that's been my focus for the last 3 years. So really exciting and absolutely loving every minute of it.
Oh, that's absolutely wonderful. And I know that we share quite a lot of clients, which is brilliant too. So we've stayed connected. The key thing that I want to ask you on this video is, what's the most sensible way for people to business develop in the current market as we are in lockdown?
Yeah, I think the first thing is to tackle actually is everybody's mindset around business development, because I think it would be really easy to get into what I would call thinking traps, where you can tell yourself it's not possible to win business in this market because of what you're hearing on the news. And we're all consuming a lot less these days, but we've all been consuming so much news that it's a big influencer to the way that we are shaping our thinking around the job that we're doing. And so I think the first things first is to make sure that your mindset is looking at this as an opportunity rather than a limiting factor. That's the first thing to tackle. And there's loads we can say around that. Any kind of change market is really quite scary, and it takes time for people to adapt to that market. And I think what we have to do is we have to be prepared to experiment and ask questions and investigate new ways of working. And the one thing that I would say from a BD perspective is that history is a great influencer on how we should be operating today. So don't forget all that juicy information about the clients that you've transacted with before, the people that you've spoken to and had good relationships with. There's no need for you to start doing loads of cold business. Actually start making sure that you're looking for where the warm conversations are already. Just because we are in a market that's in lockdown doesn't mean that companies aren't hiring. In fact, actually within the organizations that we work in, I'm seeing deal wins, deals happening all over the place and people winning new business. So it is happening, admittedly in certain markets more than others, but it's still happening. Yep. So I think use your history from a BD perspective to influence where you're focusing the majority of your time now. And as a recruiter, that's about looking at the types of jobs you're filling, the types of challenges businesses have been facing and could be facing right now in this market, investigating, understanding where the bruises are within the market right at the moment, and not assuming that those bruises are the same for every organisation. Really starting to get underneath the skin of the challenges each individual organisation are facing, and then looking at how you can then adapt your service to be able to provide the right thing for those organisations. So the first things first is use the history to influence the activity that you're doing today. The next thing is a bit of acceptance. Accept that in this marketplace, you are probably going to have to do more to get less of a result, right? That's just fact, okay? And the sooner that we accept that, the better, okay? Because if we don't accept that, then we're going to be thinking that we can carry on as we were, we're going to get the same results. And when that doesn't happen, that will then go back to affecting our mindset, and we'll change what we believe we're able to achieve. And if we believe we can't achieve something, then we're not going to want to do it. So that's the first thing, except you're going to have to do more. Planning has never been more important. Actually getting into your BD activity and not having a plan for who you're going to call, what value you're bringing to the conversation, and even talking to a candidate about getting them out to market and finding opportunities for them, but not really knowing where you're going to take them, that planning piece is incredibly important. This marketplace, I think, has given us permission to chunk everything down and make it manageable. So look at dealing with what you can do today. Don't worry all the time about, well, what do I need to do next week and the week after that and the week after that? Because we're not in that market. Deal with the manageable stuff. The second thing is, remember, quality has never been more important. And so if you're going to be taking candidates to market and introducing them to clients who have a need or maybe have an anticipated need, those candidates need to be really committed and they need to be the best quality candidate that you can identify and build a relationship with right now, because quality has never been more important. If you're going to put the time into someone and the time into the market, make sure you're working with quality. So I think just on a very coalface, at the coalface level, it's be planned, use history as a good influencer for where you should be focusing your time right now. Think about what types of organisations may well actually be growing in a market like this. So for example, people that might sell video conferencing tools, for example, could be organisations that are experiencing actually high growth right now. The industries that could be least affected in this marketplace, identify those and look to have warm conversations first. Don't go in cold all the time. You don't need to. And then think about quality and make sure the quality of what you're doing, the value you're adding, the services you're selling and the candidates you're representing are what they need to be, so that the time you're spending doing BD, which inevitably is going to be more than it used to be, is actually spent on the right types of companies and the right types of opportunities with the right types of people. And then lastly, I want you to see this as an opportunity, because there's been lots of people that aren't as lucky as you. They've been furloughed and they aren't able to be on the tools and do the job. And you're able to keep your skills sharp. You're able to get your tools out of the toolbox every single day and remain match fit. So actually, that's incredibly lucky. And we have to, I think, be grateful for that. That whilst it might be a hard market, probably the hardest market we've ever experienced, focus on the fact that you are able to be ahead of the game when it comes to your competition. And some of your competition may not be building those relationships that you are now able to build, because for the first time ever, we have got something in common with every single person that we talk to. So it's a brilliant relationship builder and it's a brilliant conversation opener.
That's absolutely wonderful advice. And actually, in future, when people look back on this video, that's strategy for business development, full stop, isn't it? It's about key hires. It's about strong engagement. It's about creating the human factor, which at the moment we talk about COVID-19. And it's about making sure you're sharp and that you're ready to, you know, partner people at the right time and in the right market. So nobody wants to be in a declining market. So it's brilliant advice, Kate. Thank you so much. Vicky, would you like to introduce yourself to those who don't know you and explain what you do?
Absolutely, yeah. Well, I mean, I've known Kate for, oh God, what, since we were 18, went to university together, and we also worked at Aspire together, back then, Fee Farrah Jones, and obviously the three of us worked there, didn't we?
I know,
so long ago, but my recruitment sort of career has spanned 18 years, I going through all of the different positions and worked my way up, and ended up a director of running a team, running an office, and then moved into training and development and started working with Kate, because although as a director it was part of my role anyway, actually that was the key part, the sort of developing those individuals, and I'm really seeing how they could we could really sort of change mindset and how that could influence their them improving, basically. So that was just, it was a brilliant move for me, and so I've been working with Kate now for 12 months, and ooh, what a learning curve it's been. Oh, it has. It's been great. I mean, I've absolutely loved every minute of it. Walking into the training room and just seeing how you can influence people and really draw out of them, what they already know and help them to apply it is really, really great. So it's been a real learning curve for me.
You share the same passion as Kate, and I can see why.
Absolutely.
Brilliantly together. what I want to ask you, Vicky, is what is the most sensible way to stay motivated in this current climate? And that is to those who are still working, but also those who have been furloughed?
I mean, I think there's two things here, because it's about self-motivation and it's about businesses and you know, owners, managers also helping to motivate as well. So there's two areas there. I think if we look at organisations and, you know, managers helping to keep people who haven't been furloughed, firstly, motivated, it's about regular communication. It's about keeping in touch with those individuals and, you know, perhaps more than you would normally. You know, maybe you might have a one-to-one on a weekly basis. Maybe with some of your members of staff, you don't need to have it weekly. Maybe you only have it every 2 weeks. But now we're working remotely. People are working on their own. People's sort of working environment, you know, from one person to the other. One person might be in a flat on their own. Someone else might have a huge family around them and, you know, dogs barking and kids running in and everything. So engaging with your staff and communicating with them regularly, I think, is a real key to keeping people motivated and understandable, being able to understand the circumstances that they are in.
Yeah.
I think other things are sort of making sure that, you know, the expectations are managed. You know, being able to motivate people and recognise that actually what's doable and what's not doable will really help to motivate. You know, there's no point in sort of, you know, saying to people, oh, well, you know, this, they've got this huge target above your head right now. And right, let's see if we can motivate you to achieve it. Let's look at what's possible and let's look at what those goals are and what those objectives are that are realistic. Equally, a little bit challenging, but that something that is actually achievable, so that retains the motivation. And it might be that rather than looking at those big targets that, you know, those that quarterly target that sometimes people are focusing on, that needs to be narrowed down now. And we need to go back to basics and we need to look at, okay, what are the wins? What are the small wins on a daily basis? That's the things that are going to keep us engaged and keep us motivated. I think for people who have been furloughed, and that is again really difficult. And you know, some people, you know, might be, you know, taking the opportunity to go, right, this is like 3 months off for me, and that's what I'm going to do. And I haven't got the working, I haven't got the environment to be able to do any work anyway. So actually, that's me. But there are obviously lots of people that also aren't in that situation. And also, what we want to do is make sure that those people who have been furloughed, that, you know, they're in the right mindset when they, you know, we're out of this lockdown, because even though we don't know when it's going to be yet, there is going to be an end. Yes. Right. And so we need to think about that. So how do we make sure that we retain the engagement with those people? Because even though they're not allowed to be doing anything that is revenue generating for us right now, we want to make sure that they are going to be engaged when the time is right to come back into the fold. So what is great about the furlough system is that training and development is still something that is being encouraged by the government for people to do. And I really do believe that if there is a, you know, from people who are business owners or managers to say to people, look, you have been furloughed, and I totally appreciate there's nothing that you're going to be doing to generate revenue. But what we want to do is we want to give you a few ideas and set you a few targets, up to you if you want to do it. But we think this will really help you. Why not engage in some learning and development? Whether that be that the business suggests some things or there's some self-learning and development going on. But I think that is a real motivator. No one ever wants to feel like they've stood still.
No.
You know, and when we sort of sit there and go, oh, right, actually people can lose total motivation if they don't feel like they are working towards something. And certainly within recruitment, we are all so motivated to do those deals and to get that commission. And if you feel like you're not working towards something,
yep,
then that is so demotivating. So I really do think that learning and development couldn't be a real motivator right now.
I agree. And actually, from a cost perspective, it could be that a lot of businesses listening are thinking, well, that's just not an essential investment at the moment. But I personally agree with that, and things like marketing, you know, training, development, these are the key things that will allow you to spring back when we get lockdown. No one knows yet. No one, I mean, you could all guess and say it could be the 1st of June, could be the 1st of July, but we won't be in lockdown forever. So what are you doing as a business owner to ensure you're prepared and also your employees are prepared? So I think it's all really valid. And, you know, we're all so goal-orientated that we achieve something every day, even if it is, you know, for people that feel like, you know, focus on your fitness, you know, do a 5K run, then tomorrow a 6K run, for example. Or it could be, I'm going to listen to X podcast today or a webinar today, or I'm going to connect to, you know, people in different sectors just to see what they're doing, or I'm going to read a book, or whatever it is, you know, really. And I think that it's the responsibility of business owners to ensure that their staff are still feeling connected. And I know that there are loads of, you know, WhatsApp groups for furloughed people, and I think that's all great, keeping people communicated. But this is an absolutely phenomenal opportunity for people to think about skills. And there's always a skill gap, isn't there? I mean, I've been doing it as 21 years, and, you know, there's areas. I mean, I'm a total technophobe. The fact that I'm managing to record a Zoom video, I couldn't have done that a month ago. I know that sounds bonkers, but it's things that you're learning and developing all the time. So I think that's really great tips. And I want to invite Kate back into this. I don't know if it'll record both the screens, but we're all working mums and we've all got different age kids. And I want to know, what's your one magic tip for keeping sane as a working, I'm going to say mum, but working parent?
Oh my God. About that for a moment, because I'm not sure I've got a tip. If I'm absolutely honest, I really don't know if I've got a tip, because it's hell. I think find a car, get into it, and use your neighbour's Wi-Fi and park up on that driveway, log in there, and enjoy your day child-free. I mean, that is that's actually my tip. In fact, I might do that this afternoon.
Oh, it's so difficult, isn't it? It really is. I mean, for me, I mean, you know, we were saying, weren't we, before we came on this, you know, I'd had a right morning of it with my two boys. And, you know, the thing we've got to remember is, you know, from a mental health perspective, you know, everybody in the family, everybody's mental health is, you know, is so important right now. And you find yourself beating yourself up about things all the time. You know, I had this conversation with Kate this morning, and she's like, you're just trying to achieve too much in such a short space of time, or you've got too high expectations of yourself. You know, I'm obviously not a teacher, and certainly wouldn't want to be teaching my own children. But here we are, you know, and then obviously having to work at the same time. And I mean, one of the tips I think really for me is do something, one thing every day for yourself. And whether that be a glass of wine, whether that be chocolate, but whether that be going out for a walk, if you are in the position that you can, going out for a walk on your own to go and just clear your head. Having a hot bath. I mean, you know, obviously there's so many different things, isn't there? But just one thing every day that you do for yourself.
I think that's brilliant.
Leisha, I do have a tip that somebody else gave me the other day. She said she was talking to her friend, and this is not really a tip, it's quite a funny thing to say. She was talking to her friend, and her friend said, "Do you know what? I didn't have children to look after them all the time."
It's true though, isn't it?
You know, that's not why I had them. So actually, currently in this marketplace, I'm a full-time parent, and this is not what I did this for. Which I just thought was hilarious, because you know, that's obviously not a thought that's at the forefront of your mind all the time. But I think what children teach you that's incredibly important is that When we go through any massive change like we've gone through right now, from a mental health perspective, you have to try and find new structures of meaning in whatever it is that you do, so that you feel like you have a purpose. And whatever that purpose is, as long as it matters to you, as far as I'm concerned, that's okay. But for children, it's a very quick thing. So this experience for my children, particularly my daughter who's 8, it's been like, wow, we're off school. And I get to colour, and I get to sit down with mummy, and I get to watch films. You know, her new structure of meaning, it was like overnight, she was like, this is incredible, right?
Yeah.
And my son, the same. Yeah, brilliant. I don't have to get up at 6:30 to go and catch a bus. I don't have to put my uniform on. I can wear what I want. Like instant, completely, you know, he'd completely rephrased his world in his own mind overnight. But of course, for adults, this change is much harder. And it takes time for you to find new structures of meaning. Mm-hmm. And that's made ever harder by the fact that we're trying to play multiple roles. Whether you are a working dad or a working mum, or you're two parents together, or you are a single parent, the stresses and strains of this environment, before it becomes more comfortable, you have to figure out what makes it comfortable. And sometimes that's just a suck it and see situation where, some days you might need to get in your car and go and steal your neighbor's Wi-Fi, because actually for an hour, that might just make you sane again. And like Vicky was saying, or go for a walk, whatever it might be, but finding new structures of meaning are really important to people's mental health. And I think that's what we all need to try and do, find our purpose, find our meaning at times like these.
Definitely. Well, children are adaptable, and they're much more adaptable than adults. And to quote my daughter, she's 12. She said it a few times now. She went, "I'm literally living my best life, Mum. You're letting me stare my Xbox." I mean, she goes to bed way after me, so she's on it till God knows what time to her mates, on FaceTime at the same time. She's doing her homework when she feels like doing her homework, but she's doing it. She's right on top of it. She's still committing to her dance classes because they're virtual, because the dance teacher, thumbs up Abby, doing amazingly. And she's just, she's literally living her best life. Maybe that's because I've created a calm environment. I don't know. But I do think we can learn a lot from the children. So it's been, it's been great to have you both on. And I'm sure we'll do another one before the end of lockdown. And I think that in terms of stealing a neighbour's wife, Evan, that's brilliant. A shout out to my sister who lives in Tel Aviv, who is still working full time with a 3 and a 1-year-old. And she actually goes and hides. She lives in a two-story apartment. She goes and hides in the stairwell for about 4 hours. So,
She's now another option.
Yes.
Car, hiding. Driveway, steal a Wi-Fi. There you go.
Thank you both so much. And obviously, if anyone's got any questions specifically for Vicky or Kate, then please click through to their profiles. I'm sure they'll be happy to connect to anybody that doesn't already know of them. But it's wonderful to see you. Keep it real, girls. Speak to you soon.
See you soon.